This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. As I am fond of saying each week, and you're probably sick of hearing it now, but this is a place where we really talk about that word community. We have such a laser focus on what's happening in our backyard and in and around our county, but we're so happy to be talking more about what's happening right here in the community we call home every day, which is Ypsilanti. So we're the proud media partner of this Concentrate Media project, and the project manager sitting across the table from me on, if you're staring at your radio dial, she'd be on the 1600 a.m. end of the dial. Good morning, Sarah.
Yeah, good morning.
The sportscasters used to do that, right? Moving left to right on your radio dial. I don't know if anybody has a radio dial anymore.
I don't know.
Kids these days even know what that is. All right, we're going to get off that topic and talk about ConcentrateMedia.com, Concentrate A2 on Twitter, Concentrate Media, literally everywhere else, right?
Yep.
And what did you talk about this week?
So the issue of what the city of Ypsilanti should do with Peninsular Dam has been a big topic for many years. The state told them that they needed to come up with some kind of timeline for dealing with it, whether that's repairing it or removing it. And citizens are pretty passionate on both sides. I went to a town hall meeting earlier this year, and there were lots of people talking about it. And the city has to make a decision, and they're going to be taking a vote on it in early May. So I wanted to make sure that all the arguments, sort of the pros and cons of each side, were out there so people, had some information to go on and base their decision on what they wanted to tell their council people to do.
So out of curiosity, what's happening with it right now? I know it's just kind of sitting there, but is there any kind of maintenance work being done on it or any repair, or is it just kind of being allowed to fall into the river?
It's considered in quote-unquote fair condition, but it's also considered a high-hazard dam in that if it fails, it could be catastrophic, okay, both to property and life.
And so not an imminent threat,
no,
but a big enough issue that the state is stepping in and saying, hey, guys, you got to come up with something here before something bad
That's
happens.
Right. Okay. They've been telling the city of Ypsilanti since at least 2014, if not earlier, that they need to do something with it and they need to make a decision.
And right now, it's technically a park, right?
It's inside Peninsular Park.
Okay. All right. So this is all park property. So when we're talking about ways to possibly use it, a lot of it's probably going to center on the notion of it just being still part of a park.
Right. It was originally generated power for the Peninsular Paper Company, but they deeded the property to the city, and it hasn't operated as a hydropower plant. None of the fixtures are in there anymore for many years.
Okay. All right. So that's the background. Who did you bring today as our guest / experts?
I brought Beth Gibbons, who is a city of Ypsilanti resident who does work around climate change adaptation and who is just passionate about the topic in general as a citizen of Ypsilanti. And I have Marjorie Dosey, who's with the Friends of Penn Park, and they as a general group are in favor of repairing and retaining it.
Okay. And just a note from our perspective, both Sarah and I, the order we talk to people in doesn't connotate any preference for one or the other. And because this is sort of a divisive issue, I would ask that both of our guests, we'll talk to you one at a time. Let's let the person kind of answer, state a point. The other person, if you want to make some notes to respond, that's fine. We'll give you time, but we're going to avoid the back and forth yelling over each other. Not that I expect either one of you to do that, but let's keep this short and concise and to the point, and we'll save the rebuttals for when we return back to you, if that's okay with both of our guests, unless somebody says something so horribly outrageous you have to jump in right away. But again, I think we've got a couple good reasoned people today that'll give us a good argument. So Beth and Marjorie, thank you so much for coming in today to speak on behalf of your viewpoint. Beth, well, let's start with you. Remind me again who you are and why you're involved in this.
Excellent. Well, thank you, and good morning to both of you. Thanks for having me on. My name is Beth Gibbons. I live in downtown Ypsilanti, and I've become involved in this because it really pairs with my personal interest in the well-being and welfare of our city, and also with my personal expertise. I'm a climate change adaptation expert. I work across the country coordinating efforts in cities, in rural areas, in parks, thinking about how climate change is already impacting our communities and our systems, and how we might adapt those systems so that we have more resilient places to live, work, and play.
All right, so the Huron River obviously did not have naturally a bunch of dams occurring on it, but over the years, particularly in the late 19th, early 20th century, a lot of dams went up. This is one that was used for hydroelectric purposes, for power generation. It's been decades since it was actively doing something. You believe, as of today, that the city should be looking at doing what with it?
Well, I definitely think the city should be looking at a removal option.
Right.
And I wouldn't say that this is an option that I would run around any place in the country and say, if you have a dam, you better rip it out. That's not the case. But in the case of Penn Dam, we had the city's engineers look at this dam, identify that it was in failing condition. We've had the state of Michigan come in and recommend that there is some type of repair or removal option explored. The city's gone through a process by which they had OHM, their engineer, look at the dam, then brought in an outside consultant to come in and look at the dam, and now have this option ahead of them to say, we can consider removing, which would free the city of the liability that this dam poses and will continue to pose in the future, even if it were to be repaired. Or we can try to repair it and know that in repairing it, we are still going to be using an infrastructure that is no longer necessary, that we're using an infrastructure which is comprised of concrete and other materials that are more and more at risk from the kind of climate impacts that we're seeing, more freeze-thaw cycles and ways of eroding the really the structure itself. And we're also going to be keeping an infrastructure in place that is trying to hold back the...
That was on Marjorie's end. We'll edit that out. That's okay. No worries. Keep going.
We're going to be trying to repair an infrastructure that's really holding back a river that's seeing a tremendous change from the impacts of climate change. All We're seeing more severe storms, higher precipitation, all of which is going to continue putting more pressure on this dam and really lead to an increased risk of failure.
So it sounds to me, and this is my summary as I'm hearing you talk, that a lot of the pros you're sharing revolve around the notion that this is an inherent risk of just having any sort of structure there that we don't need anymore because it hasn't been used to generate power for quite a long time. And your viewpoint is, why just push the risk down the road for, you know, decades down the road for another community leadership to deal with? Let's just take care of it now and return the river more to a natural state. Is that kind of a summary of what you're bringing up there?
Yeah, it is in summary.
And what are other pros? I mean, environmentally, what other impacts could this have that are would be benefits to the community?
Yeah, so there's actually a tremendous amount of benefits. So you have a risk management component, which is what I spoke about. But then in the benefits side, actually removing this dam has been found to have incredible ecological benefits to the river system itself. And over the last couple of months, there's been Trouts Unlimited, which has come out with a terrific letter of support thinking about removing this dam, talking about the benefits that it'll reap for cold water fisheries, something that is in high, under a lot of stress because of the warming of waters. We also just received a letter from Michigan DNR stating that although the amount of river that will be able to freely flow is limited between the two other impoundments, this particular stretch of river is at a gradient that is really unique and will allow for the kind of spawning of cold water fish that we want to see return to this river and are going to enhance the opportunities for angling and other recreation on the river and into Ford Lake.
All right, thanks, Beth. Marjorie, if you did make any notes there, you know, things that Beth specifically talked about that you want to address, we'll get to those in a moment, but I wanted to give you a chance on the repair side to express the same sentiment. Why do you feel that repair, and why does your group, sharing your viewpoint, feel that repair is the best option?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about our group, which is the Friends of Peninsular Park.
Okay.
We were founded in 2014 as an extension of an already existing group in Ypsilanti. And we are comprised of people not only from the city of Ypsilanti, but Ypsilanti Township and Superior Township. We have a board of directors, and we are in the process of securing our 501c3 status. And our focus is on the mission of creating a parkland that is safe, sustainable, historical, iconic, and provides recreational opportunities for everyone right now and into the future. And we have looked at repair as an investment in the historical nature of the park and in the infrastructure. Now, most dams, bridges were built for 100 years, and now it's time to do the maintenance. That was the plan. The longer-term plan of repair is more cost-effective and sustainable for the city of Ypsilanti and neighboring communities. The city of Ypsilanti does have some financial straits, and we certainly take that into consideration. There are a couple concerns that remain. And we presented to the city of Ypsilanti, to the mayor, and to each council member a report. We needed to do that because the city of Ypsilanti did a report called the Princeton Study. And when we, as Friends of Peninsular Park, heard about that, we were anxious to help the city in a financial contribution. And our group contributed several thousand dollars to this report. But unfortunately, when the report came out, it was exclusively focused on dam removal, and it was not focused at all on any research for dam repair. So in our opinion, there has been information that has been given to the press and to citizens that is in favor of removal, but there has been nothing that has been out there regarding repair. So we felt, as a group, we needed to do that. Within our group, we have some scientists. We have people that have done a lot of grantsmanship. We have business people. So we gathered together and submitted this to the city, which can be seen on our Facebook page, the Friends of Peninsular Park. And we divided this into four different areas. One, we addressed the possibilities of the future of the dam. We retain from all of this the possible release of harmful sediments, and we do a deep dive into that because they do exist. And we've talked about, in that report, maintaining the pond around which a number of houses have been designed. So with the removal of that water, one-third to two-thirds, you expose what they call mudflats, and that exposes some deed issues and some legal issues for the city of Ypsilanti. But probably one of the biggest things has to do with the financial aspect. It's going to be much more physically prudent with the comparison between removal versus repair. Our cost is presented in the report, total over $4 million. For repair, it is just over $500,000.
And just out of curiosity, just to ask, Marjorie, who generated those numbers?
They came from the Princeton report. We had an accountant analyze them. We realized that on the repair side and the removal side, the figures were not going apples to apples. An example would be in the repair side, the tearing down of the iconic powerhouse was included, but it was not done on the removal side. So also within that report, there were several items that were not included that should have been. And that is engineering design, which is typically 10% of construction costs, which was not included. Permitting, which is typically 5%. Bidding, which is usually about 2%, construction oversights, which you usually put in a buffer of 20%, sediment management, which is, again, a 10% oversight, and bank stabilization. And with our research, we used a figure of 10% in that. These items were not included. So our premise is we do not believe that there has been enough research put into this to really warrant a decision for removal.
All right, so just to clarify again, you're saying then the $4 million and the $500,000 was not the numbers included in the report presented to the originally created.
Those are your numbers. Those would be our numbers, and in our report to the city of Ypsilanti and to every council member, we have it very specifically itemized to show them the differences, so they are comparing apples.
I just want to jump in here and give the city generated numbers, which was, I believe it was $807,000 for repair, and it was between $2.5 and $2.6 million for removal, and they had a built-in contingency of 10 to 20% for each option because, you know, once you start doing something, of course, it can add up.
All right, so then what we're talking about is that the Friends of Penn Park group is saying $500,000 for repaired, $4 million for removal. That's their estimate based on the way they looked at it, the way the city looked at it. Their estimates were $870,000 for removal.
No, $807,000.
I'm sorry, $807,000 for removal and about $2.5 million for $807 for repair and about $2.5 million for removal. Does that sound fair to both our parties involved here? Those are the numbers that have been put out there in public.
Right. That's not what the Friends of Penn Park came up with, but that's the numbers that the city's been using. And I also just want to mention that one of the arguments about the cost has been that there are probably going to be more grants available for removal than there would be for repair. And so those numbers might be much closer once grant options are looked into. That's one of the arguments.
I have to mention, regarding the grantsmanship, if you apply for a grant, it can be a federal grant or it can be a state grant, you are given a score based on the amount of river mileage or whatever. The river mileage we are talking about is approximately 1.5 miles. And that would not give us a very impressive score in grantsmanship.
I guess.
So let's let Beth address some of the things here, and then Marjorie, I'll certainly give you a couple minutes here to chat at the end as we can circle up. But Beth, do you have a response to some of the points that Marjorie raised?
Yeah. So I think that there are a lot of good points, and I think that there are a lot of important considerations. I don't want to take the words from Trout Unlimited, who wrote that every time dam owners grapple with the cost of repair and maintaining, it is challenging. Change is a really challenging thing for a community to face, and I think that's a lot of what we're seeing here is there's a future that there is something there that we know now, a pond that we know now, and we're talking about changing that and bringing back a flowing, moving, living river, and that can be very frightening. To the point of landowners around the pond itself, I think that this is a group that is deeply invested in having a healthy ecosystem in front of their homes. One of the impacts from climate change that we're also seeing is warming, both in air temperature and in water temperature, that leads to more growth of bacteria, E. coli, and bringing in more mosquitoes, the kind of vector-borne diseases and waterborne diseases. By taking that dam out and replacing that stagnant pond water with something flowing, you're going to be able to reduce some health impacts. And over again, we have seen when dams are removed, the landowners around the impoundments' property values increase because they've returned something to a natural state. It's really a great advantage for those folks who are outside of Ipsy. Of course, this is folks who live in the township. This isn't the city of Ipsy, so they're not bearing the burden of the dam itself, but they actually would really benefit from the removal.
All right, Marjorie, your final thoughts here, and I do have one more question I'm going to ask both of you, but just Marjorie, what's your final thoughts here?
Well, my thoughts are a little different regarding the health impact and also the real estate values, which again, we addressed to the mayor and the city council, and that is with the removal of the dam, you create an area called mud flats, and the mud flats take a long time to recondition themselves back to nature. In the program for removal, there is no remuneration for improving the mud flats. And also, if we talk about real estate values, after having spoken to several real estate people in the area, by diminishing the river and creating more acreage, the real estate agents have said to us, you don't need more acreage. That's not as valuable as riverfront property. So from an expert, we have that piece of information that the real estate values will not be able to hold.
Marjorie, one last question, and that is what we haven't talked about, I don't think, is long-term costs. On your plan, I know we talked a little bit about long-term impact, but because there's a repair being done rather than the removal, is there a longer-term plan for how to finance what would be needed for maintenance and repairs moving forward?
Well, that also can be gotten through some grants and can be factored into the repair situation for the grants. But getting the grants for either way, although it's very, very important, is going to take a lot of work because, as I said, we did research into federal and state grants. And our scoring is not going to be very high. So by taking a road that will minimize the amount of money that we will need, and we can certainly put in that maintenance cost, And we have not factored that, nor has the city of Ypsilanti, because they are so focused on a report that does not really go into the depth of repair.
And Beth, I'm going to ask, sorry to cut you off, Marjorie, we're kind of running out of time here, unfortunately, but Beth, I want to ask the same question of you, a quick summary. You know, once the dam is removed based on the proposal and the side that you're on, what's the city facing long-term for costs?
With this dam removed, you're going to put the city in a position that it's going to allow the river to run its natural course. Future impacts from climate change are going to be minimized as the water will be able to follow its natural path rather than trying to be held back against infrastructure that is failing and will continue to be in a failing condition.
All right. Thank you, both of you. And I agree. Thank you so much for bringing up your salient points. Thank you for having this be a reasonable conversation. Sarah, I know that you mentioned when we were chatting beforehand, there are a couple of other viewpoints here, and they're shared in the article. So we can see the article at concentratemedia.com.
That's right.
And did you have any good pictures this week? I think people
Right. You know, Doug's photos are always fantastic.
Yeah. And is there anything from inside?
You're not allowed to get inside that powerhouse.
Well, I didn't ask
no
if you were allowed
trespassing.
To get inside. I just asked if there were pictures from it. Yeah. All right. So we'll see all that great stuff at concentratemedia.com. And, of course, you can find everything we just talked about at WEMU.org. This is WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.